Support for WPR comes from Doulaying the Doula, offering birth and postpartum training and certification programs for medical professionals and other interested humans. More information about training is at doulaworkshop.com.
Support for WPR comes from UW-Superior Center for Continuing Education, offering Conversations on Living Alone, a three-part series beginning Wednesday, April 17th via Zoom. Details at uwsuper.edu.
A Wisconsin judge has struck down sections of Governor Walker's Act 10, the law that strips most collective bargaining rights from most public employees. And we will wonder this hour if you want Act 10 struck down or upheld during today's big question. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, September 19th. We have two guests with different takes on this question, and we will welcome your questions for them at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We've also posted online today's big question. It reads, last week, Dane County Judge Juan Colas ruled that the state's collective bargaining law is unconstitutional for school and local government workers. However, the decision does not affect state workers or University of Wisconsin system employees. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has formally asked for a stay on the ruling while he prepares an appeal. Which of the following best describes how you feel? And then you have your choices, yay or boo or I don't know. So go ahead and vote online on that one. Let me welcome our guests. We have with us in studio John Nichols, associate editor of the Capital Times and Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine. Good morning, John.
Good morning. It's good to be with you.
And on phone, we have Owen Robinson, columnist for the West Bend Daily News, a frequent guest on our Week in Review programs. He blogs at bootsandsabers.com. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning, John.
Good morning, Owen.
Well, John, let's ask you first your reaction to the ruling on Friday against Act 10.
I was surprised, and I'll be honest about that. I going to all the demonstrations back in February and March of 2011, one of the things that you saw more than anything else when people came in from, you know, every small town across Wisconsin to protest against the governor's anti-labor agenda were signs that said things like labor rights are human rights and workers have rights. Unfortunately, in a lot of our politics and in a lot of our commentary today, we don't recognize that fact. But what Judge Colas did, and when you read the decision, it's actually a remarkably well-reasoned decision, was to say, no, the United States, unlike most countries, the United States does not recognize collective bargaining rights as a formal right. But that when you treat workers differently, when you say one class of workers has, you know, full union rights, another class of public workers does not, that violates both federal and state requirements as regards equal protection. I think that the lawyers who brought this case, folks representing Madison Teachers Inc., the sanitation workers in Milwaukee, came up with a very, very strong theory. And Judge Colas obviously extended it. And as I read the decision, I was struck by the fact that it was a very nuanced decision. It accepted some of the state's arguments. It accepted some of Governor Walker's arguments. At the same time, it put down a framework that I think will be well accepted by the appeals courts. I think it will also be very well respected by the federal courts. And I would go so far as to say even the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is quite conservative, might find some grounds that it would respect in this. And so I was very surprised when the governor, obviously in a period of time when he could not possibly have read the decision, simply dismissed it as activist, liberal judge doing something. I think the governor was wrong, and I think the governor is likely to find out that there really are constitutional constraints on what you do to workers.
Let's get Owen on this. Your reaction to the ruling?
I wasn't surprised that the ruling came forth. The way our process works, where it does have to go through a Dane County judge, that's where the process starts because it's the seat of our government, and they're generally liberal judges. That's are elected by Dane County, one of the most liberal county in the state. So I wasn't surprised that part of it was struck down, and I think that the fact that it was what John calls nuanced really means tortured. If you read through the logic, It does unequivocally say that collective bargaining is not a constitutional right, and yet then goes on to say that specific provisions of it, once extended by government, can never be taken away, because they're then protected by some other rights. And so it's kind of an odd logic. And if you look at it, it really wasn't the sweeping striking down of the entire Act 10. In fact, it struck down some specific provisions, but really left large parts of Act 10 intact. I do think that the Supreme Court will end up overturning it. What I think is most important right now is that the stay that the Attorney General is put in place, and I think that's really a matter of process, to make sure that we maintain the status quo until all of the legal challenges against the law can filter up to the Supreme Court and they can decide once and for all. Because I think it's important for the stability of our state and the stability of all of our local municipal budgets to make sure that we don't throw them into chaos with constant legal wranglings back and forth. It's unconstitutional, it is constitutional, and all of that. I think we do need to get to some stability so that our state can move forward.
Let me Owen, elaborate just a little bit when you say that this decision was tortured. If it violates equal representation, as the judge says, isn't he referring to collective bargaining rights still exist for firefighters and police, but not for the teachers or the local employees?
But there, if you again, even in that logic, if you say that all workers must be treated equally, and that's protected under equal protection clauses of our Constitution, both state and federal, then it goes on to still maintain disparate treatment of different kinds of workers within the state, whether you're talking private unions, public unions, public teachers versus public safety unions. It still allows those different classes of workers to be treated differently, both under the collective bargaining process. So I don't see, unless you say in toto that everything has to be equal, that you can use that logic to then strike down very specific components of it when it has to come to withholding union dues and things like that. I'd also point out that, remember that even beyond Wisconsin, there's massive differences in how collective bargaining works in different states at the federal level, massive differences in how those laws are set up and what's allowed under collective bargaining, what's not. And so to then now say, after that's been in place for a century, that now suddenly that those all have to be exactly equal, it just flies in the face of reason.
John?
Well, I think that Owen makes obviously the argument that the governor and others will be making. But I was struck early on and have such respect for Owen that I was intrigued by the use of this phrase. He said, and some other laws or some other rules. The some other rules that the judge cited were the amendments to the United States Constitution guaranteeing equal protection put there after the Civil War to say that you couldn't, separate out one class of people and make them slaves or make them, lesser citizens to give them fewer rights. The judge is very specific about this. He says that in a state where you have afforded collective bargaining or full collective bargaining rights to some folks, you can't say to other folks, well, you don't have them. And what he spoke about specifically, and I think this is very important, was free speech rights, freedom of association rights, the right to petition for the redress of grievances, running through collective bargaining. This may seem like a radical concept to folks who are unfamiliar with American history and unfamiliar with where the United States has stood. But we should remember that in the aftermath of World War II, when General MacArthur and General Eisenhower were really not only helping but in fact forcing Japan and Germany to develop pluralistic constitutions that would assure that they would not go back to fascism or authoritarianism, both of those constitutions included clear protections for collective bargaining and for the formation of trade unions. There's a strong understanding that the formation of a trade union is a part of a larger, smoothly democratic concept for a country. Now, the United States does not accept collective bargaining rights nationwide. The reason for that is that in the aftermath of World War II, conservative forces in the North, as well as Southern segregationists, pushed through the Taft-Hartley Act. The Taft-Hartley Act made it possible for some states to erect strict restrictions on unions and collective bargaining. But other states did not go that way. Wisconsin led the nation in accepting collective bargaining for public employees under Gaylord Nelson in 1959. So we have a tradition. We are a place that has a rule of law. This judge has asserted that rule of law. And I would really emphasize, I'm surprised that so many people attack Judge Kolas as, you know, the liberal judge from Dane County. You understand, Judge Kolas worked for J.B. Van Hollen. And the interesting thing is that while the governor has been very rough in his language about the judge, J.B. Van Hollen has not. And there's a good reason for that. J.B. Van Hollen knows that the judge is an exceptionally competent lawyer, a lawyer that he gave high-level responsibility within the Department of Justice, and who he celebrated when he went to the court. And so this is not some, you know, kind of casually dismissed liberal activist. This is a judge who wrote a very thoughtful decision that I think is going to stand quite strong through an appeals process.
Owen, this is not just some liberal activist judge.
Well, and I think John makes a compelling argument, but you know it is a bit inflammatory to link things like slavery and fascism to something as so mundane as withholding, automatic withholding by an employer of union dues. I mean, it's a far reach, but I do want to go back to John's earlier statement that the right under freedom of association to form trade unions is certainly, I think, a well-established extension of that right to be able to peaceably assemble and if you want to bargain together and negotiate on things, there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing in Act 10 that prohibits it. What it does is put some restrictions around the mechanisms that works within the public unions. And I think that that's important to note. And where I think that logic falls down is if you say that the right of freedom to association means that you have an absolute right to gather together and bargain on everything and all of that, that's certainly an argument you can make, but the judge didn't make that. He still leaves in place the portions of Act 10 that allow or that prohibit the public employee unions from negotiating over anything except wages. It does list some of the restrictions, saying that those wages have to include complete wages and that it has to include the ability to negotiate wages above CPI. But it still doesn't prohibit or it doesn't take away the parts of Act 10 that only allow them to negotiate on those wages. So again, if you take that logic to its full conclusion, really the judge should have struck down the entire act if that was the logic he was going to use. And I think the fact that it is limited really restricts the – it really makes that logic make it not look right.
We need to take a short break, and then we also will take your calls, your questions for our two big question debaters, Owen Robinson and John Nichols, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. What do you think? Should the Act 10 ruling be overturned or upheld? It's going to be a cloudy, breezy, mild day today with periods of rain, mainly this afternoon. We can expect high temperatures in the 60s and low 70s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Coming up after 8 o'clock, we will welcome in the co-author of the book Science Left Behind. He'll make the argument that there are plenty of people on the left who disregard science or spread misinformation about science when it comes to a number of issues, just as conservatives are known for many of their anti-science stances. We'll talk about that coming up after 8 o'clock. Right now, we are talking with John Nichols, associate editor of the Capital Times, Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine, and Owen Robinson, who is columnist for the West Bend Daily News, who blogs at bootsandsabers.com. We are talking about the Act 10 ruling, and we welcome your questions for them, your reaction to the Dane County judge's ruling that struck down parts of Act 10. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Judge Juan Colas said the law is unconstitutional, says it violates the constitutional rights to free speech, free association, and equal representation for teachers and city and county workers. Yesterday, J.B. Van Hollen did file a request for a stay, meaning to put this ruling on hold while he appeals the decision. John Nichols, should this ruling be stayed or put on hold while the appeals process goes through?
No.
Why?
Look, you don't stay constitutional rights. You don't say to someone that there is a violation. And in fact, the one place Owen points out that and agrees that this is a nuanced decision. This is a decision that didn't go, you know, throw everything in one direction or everything in another direction. It really looked deeply into it. But it did look into specific violations of the state and the federal constitution. And we have to remember here, the state constitution also has a great deal of standing. And it is through many of those state constitutional protections that the most sweeping parts of this decision are laid out. Bottom line, though, is that when states and federal governments write constitutions, when the people themselves initiate these compacts, they become very, very significant. They become the superseding force. And to say, well, we have found a serious violation of the state and federal constitution, but we're going to put that on hold. You know, that's cool, and we'll just let people file as many lawsuits and injunctions as they want and drag it out forever. We've had that happen in the past in America. And the significant thing is that Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, have agreed that when basic constitutional rights are threatened, that's a point at which you move forward, that you allow for the restoration of those rights. Now, one of the safety valves, Owen is legitimately concerned about a sort of chaos at the school district and local government level. But that's the genius of collective bargaining. The fact of the matter is that if you follow the judge's ruling and you allow unions to go back and meet with the local governments and school boards, they begin to negotiate. They do not suddenly just sweepingly put something in. So what actually is the best protection against any sort of chaos is the collective bargaining process. And I would also offer a notion. We're talking about putting this ruling on hold or perhaps overturning it. I want to emphasize that there is also a very real possibility that it will be extended. Remember, this dealt only because of the standing of the unions that came in with municipal workers and with school district workers. On Monday in the Seventh Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals, there'll be a hearing on these same issues in a case that has already been dealt with to some extent, but the judge is now reexamining. This is a federal U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals judge on the grounds that there are constitutional, U.S. constitutional violations in this law. I do not at all rule out the very, I think, strong possibility that we will, in relatively short order, have a federal ruling that will determine that that Act 10 is unconstitutional.
Very briefly, there was a federal ruling earlier this year that affected the state employees.
It was narrowly drawn, and the judge in that case determined that it was that there was a constitutional violation there as well. Remember, we're now piling up judges from many very different sectors of the law saying that there are constitutional violations here, but that judge is now reexamining that decision on the grounds, on the arguments made, that some of these constitutional violations are broader and more severe. So again, I would emphasize, I think there's a very real chance that in addition to Judge Colas's law standing the tests, that you will in relatively short order see a federal ruling that will again extend the protections for workers rather than narrow them.
And Owen, your thoughts on whether a stay is necessary or not?
I think a stay is absolutely necessary, and I think it's worth noting that the judicial branch is set up with specific appeals processes all, going all the way up to Supreme Courts, both at the state and federal level, specifically to make sure that constitutional issues and issues like these get a full vetting to make sure that we have a full understanding. It's not the ruling of one man. So bear in mind right now you have the ruling of one man, one judge in Dane County who's decided this is unconstitutional. Now, he may be right, he may be wrong, I happen to disagree with him, but the fact is we should not have the entire legislative process that went through, you know, all these duly elected legislators signed by the governor. These are policy issues that were decided that now one man has decided is unconstitutional, and for that to throw the entire state into the chaos of just turning over laws. That's why we have the appeals process. And I think a stay is in order to make sure that the judicial branch does give these issues a full vetting. And if there are constitutional issues, then we'll deal with those. And I think that at that point move forward. But it's absolutely not uncommon to have cases that were ruled unconstitutional in whole or in part, have those decisions stayed until it gets a full vetting through the appeals process, and I think that's important. And also, just to touch on John's note quickly about the collective bargaining process and how that mitigates chaos in the world, if you will, bear in mind that large swaths of the economy do not use the collective bargaining process, and yet they still negotiate and they still are quite stable and aren't thrown into chaos. So I don't think that's the only path to preventing those items. And even since Act 10 was passed, we see negotiations taking place in school districts and municipalities all over the state that are happening between workers and between management through the handbook process and public hearings and all the other things that we do to make sure that public workers are treated fairly.
Let me take one quick call before a news break, and we have to be very brief. Nate in North Freedom, your point, please.
Hello, I just wanted to comment that, you know, I thought collective bargaining or the Act 10 only affected benefits and pension plan, not wages. And then John said that, you know, collective bargaining prevents chaos. Well, they've been collective bargaining in Chicago, and the teachers got sick of it, and look at all the chaos we have there.
Well, Nate, I'm sorry. I thought you wanted to say the voters had validated Act 10 by re-electing rather than recalling Governor Walker. And we have time for a very brief response, 30 seconds each. Should that matter, John Nichols?
I think elections always matter, and we should respect them. But I think we should also recognize that we don't elect kings in America or in Wisconsin, and when an elected official does wrong, we have a check and balance on that, in this case the judiciary, and it's a wonderful thing. We should also remember that voters on June 5th chose to take legislative power away from the governor by shifting the state Senate to Democratic control.
30 seconds less than that, Owen, for a quick react.
I agree with much of what John said. We should respect elections, and I think that although elections don't trump the Constitution, these issues need to be vetted by the judicial branch, and they will be. But what we need to do also is respect the legislative process and respect the will of the people.
We will check news, and then we'll continue talking with Owen Robinson and John Nichols during today's Big Question debate. This is the Ideas Network. Local public unions in Wisconsin are considering whether to seek new contract talks after a Dane County judge on Friday ruled that the state's collective bargaining law, Act 10, which stripped most public employees of their collective bargaining rights, the Dane County judge ruled that law unconstitutional. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 7:37 on this Wednesday. I said it was Thursday. Wednesday, September 19th. And we have with us two guests from different viewpoints talking about this Act 10 ruling and talking about whether or not Act 10 should be overturned or upheld. And we're welcoming your questions for them. We're welcoming your views on this at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has also formally asked for a stay on the ruling while he prepares an appeal. Our guests are John Nichols, Associate Editor of the Capital Times and Washington Correspondent for The Nation magazine, and Owen Robinson, columnist for the West Bend Daily News and a frequent guest on our Week in Review programs. He also blogs at bootsandsabers.com. Let me get you both to react to our caller just before news time who did say, we don't want this collective bargaining in Wisconsin. Look what's going on in Chicago. Well, the Chicago teachers' strike now has been resolved. Teachers are back at school, but it was a week-long strike. John Nichols, our caller, says we don't want teacher strikes in Wisconsin.
I don't think we do. And the wonderful thing about our long labor history in Wisconsin is that we didn't have many of them. In fact, very, very rare after Hortonville in the 70s. Why? Because we established some very, very solid labor laws, starting in 59 with Gaylord Nelson's collective bargaining law, backed by Republicans and Democrats, and then extended in the 70s to a set of essentially arbitration and resolution procedures that made it easy for districts across this state to settle a lot of issues. Tommy Thompson, in fact, was a critical player, both legislatively and as governor, in establishing labor laws that worked, that allowed for real collective bargaining, genuine collective bargaining, but at the same time tended to avert strikes. And I would just point out, though, that while I don't think any, as a parent of a kid in public school, I'm not the biggest fan of teacher strikes, the Chicago teacher strikes was one that was, fascinatingly enough, according to polling by the Chicago Sun-Times and other independent pollsters, strongly supported by the parents. 66% of parents of kids in the schools backed the strike. Why? Because when public sector workers go to the mat in collective bargaining and sometimes in job actions, they don't just do so for themselves. It's interesting. If you read the contract that's come out of the Chicago school strike, it guarantees that low-income kids have their textbooks on the first day of school. It hires back arts and music teachers. It extends science programs that were getting cut. It does all sorts of things that are in the great interest of the students and of the community. And I think that's why parents in Chicago were strongly supportive of the teachers, and why I think that there's this sort of fantasy sometimes put up that somehow public employees are at odds with the community, at odds with the people they serve. Often public employees, using collective bargaining and even job actions at times, are the number one defenders of the public interest.
Owen?
Well, and I think that one of the great casualties we've had in the last couple of years is the treatment of public employees and how their perception, how they are perceived. But I think part of that comes from the whole unionization of them, where you start to view them as part of a collective, and it's much easier to disparage and hate a collective than it is an individual. And so if you have unions that are using the collective bargaining process, or abusing it, I would say, to strike or to do job actions, that they may say they're doing it in the best interest of everybody, but in reality, when you talk about things like bringing back additional teachers or additional funding, those things, those go directly to benefit the employees, which, you know, is their right. That's what they're fighting for, but let's not pretend that it's all about everybody else's interests. And oftentimes, it does ignore the interests of the larger community, where a school district or a municipality or a specific local government is one portion of a much larger community with much more complex issues going on, which is why we should respect the election process and the leaders that we put in place to manage those local units of government to the best of their ability and the best interests of all stakeholders, not just the stakeholders that work there. I do want to point out, though, and John brought it up specifically about the arbitration process, that in the ruling by this judge, he specifically left that in place, the changes in that under Act 10, where it doesn't allow the essentially the end result of the previous arbitration process that allowed arbiters to force a decision onto government in that collective bargaining agreement. It did leave that in place, so that's one of the provisions that wasn't touched in here.
I'm Joy Cardine with Owen Robinson and John Nichols. We are talking about this week's big question. Should the Act 10 ruling be overturned or upheld? What is your reaction to the Dane County judge's ruling on Friday on Act 10? He said it was unconstitutional. Was he right to strike it down, or at least parts of it down? Or do you think this was liberal activism from the bench? If you're in a union, are you feeling recharged right now, or a public union, that is? Are you feeling recharged, or are you thinking that this is probably going to be overturned by the state Supreme Court? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you can vote in our online poll. Well, Owen Robinson, is the state Supreme Court eventually going to restore Act 10 to its, I guess, previous glory?
I think they likely will. And I think that as we look this, and this is why I advocate strongly for them to put a stay in place, is there are multiple cases going on about multiple aspects of the law. It's a large law that does a lot of different things, and certainly a proper vetting by the judiciary is important to happen. But I would rather see them wait until all these cases bubble up and the Supreme Court can deal with them once and for all, if you will. Otherwise, we're going to have this continued process of different courts or, you know, lower courts ruling and then having it stayed or maybe not stayed and then appealed and maybe not appealed and direct appeals to the Supreme Court. And I think that's unfair to the citizens of Wisconsin who did vote overwhelmingly through multiple elections to support this law and to put it into place. And I think we need to respect the will of the people in that process. I think specifically one of the items in this ruling that the judge ruled Act 10 unconstitutional was under the definition of the special session. And there are some guidelines in our Constitution, or requirements, I should say, about when a special session is called, that the legislature can't deal with issues outside of the definition of that special session. And when the special session was called, the governor actually modified it a couple times, and you're really getting into some picky language about that. And the court has shown in the past, not just in the recent past, for decades, that it's very, very reticent to step in into internal processes of the other branches of government based on the separation of powers doctrine. So I think on that portion specifically, they're very, very likely to overturn it because it's, frankly, that's not the court's business most of the time.
John?
Well, I think there may be. The court, Judge Colas, upheld the use of the special session. And respected that. So he respected the legislative process. I think the Supreme Court will be quite happy with that. And my sense is that I have a great deal of respect for the state Supreme Court, despite all the terrible messes they've been through over the last 2 years. This is going to be one of the first high-profile cases that they're going to deal with, in which they're, you know, we're going to look at them and see, you know, are these people the gang that couldn't shoot straight, or can they actually, you know, apply the law? My sense is that those who anticipate that the Supreme Court is suddenly going to jump one way or the other are being both unfair to the court and also unrealistic. There are parts of this ruling that will definitely be upheld by the state Supreme Court. Additionally, federal courts will be ruling in this area. So the notion that we ought to put things on stay till everything is resolved, I think, is a bit unrealistic. The fact is that we're talking about years and years of legal wrangling that's ahead. The reason for that is that it's a badly drawn law. And I would emphasize one other thing. Owen suggested that the people of Wisconsin had a chance in multiple elections to rule on this issue, to take a stand on this issue. If we take that standard, then the decision of the people in multiple elections to shift control of the state Senate from a Republican majority that had supported Act 10 to a Democratic majority of folks who oppose it is a very significant decision. Now, they actually did reelect or retain Governor Walker as well. But if you remember Governor Walker's ads, they didn't talk about Act 10. It was not a big part of his reelection campaign. And so what we really end up is in a situation where you've got sort of this split decision. Legislature shifted to the Democrats, the governor retaining his position. And the core question, did the people of Wisconsin have a chance to vote on Act 10? No, they did not. Had it been put on a referendum, as it was in Ohio, same sort of law, I suspect that the reaction would have been about the same as Ohio. 61% of people in Ohio voted to retain labor rights, not to undermine them. And interestingly enough, 82 of 88 Ohio counties, including John Boehner's home district, voted in favor of labor rights. I think that's an important thing to understand. If people are given a freedom in a referendum to decide whether they stand with the rights of public employees to organize and collective bargaining, the history around the country is that they support it, and I think Wisconsin would strongly support it. I'd love to have a referendum.
We have some callers who have been waiting patiently, so let me go to Mike in Wausau next. Hello, Mike.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's your point or question?
Question. If this is unconstitutional, I'm just curious to what his thoughts are, what is unconstitutional. And if it is unconstitutional, I absolutely agree, but if it's curious to what he's saying is not constitutional according to this law.
Sure. Or the judge, you mean?
Yeah. What he's saying is unconstitutional is very simple. I think Owen and I would agree on this, that although we might disagree on the interpretation, and that is that the federal and state constitutions have very, very strong equal protection clauses. They say you can't treat some workers differently than others. This judge is saying that Act 10 sets up structures that give full union rights, full ability to organize a collective bargaining to some public employees, but not to others, and that that's just inappropriate.
Let's take another call from Marilyn in Madison. Hello, Marilyn.
Good morning. Great program. I would just like to comment that as a lawyer for almost 30 years, I'm very troubled by Governor Walker's immediate dismissal, the decision of Judge Juan Colas as the work of a liberal activist judge. Comments indicate that he didn't even read the decision. I don't know that to be a fact, but I do think it reflects a knee-jerk dismissal of a decision of the court and invites disrespect for judicial decisions. And along that line, I think citizens need to carefully scrutinize Governor Walker's appointments to the circuit courts, particularly in Dane County, and satisfy themselves that these are not simply appointees who governor believes will rubber stamp his favored legislation. And I would comment that as an attorney, I don't believe that just because Governor Walker makes a judicial appointment that voters should reject that person. But I do believe, in view of the governor's strong comments on the judiciary, that voters should look carefully at his appointments and satisfy themselves that the judicial appointment is not a political appointment in the worst sense of the word.
Thank you, Marilyn. I know you agree with much of that. John, let me get Owen to react first to that Governor Walker shouldn't have just dismissed this as the opinion of a liberal activist judge.
Well, I think you have to separate the politics of these issues from the legal portion of these issues. And certainly, I think that's where you see Attorney General Van Hollen using much more measured language, if you will, because he's approaching it from a legal perspective. But the politics are still very strong, very, very passionate. And this is obviously an issue that Governor Walker is passionate about, supporting one of his key, signature pieces of legislation. And I think that he reacted as you would expect a politician to react. And I think that, he's largely how he characterizes it and the language he may use, you may not be happy with, but he is a politician. That's what he does. From the judicial appointment standpoint of Marilyn's comments, I agree with her. I think every judicial appointment should be scrutinized to make sure that those appointees are qualified for their position and have a strong legal background in the required areas they need to be to be good appointments. At the same time, a governor's ability and right to appoint people who may share his legal philosophy is certainly something that's been done by every governor and every president for the history of our country. So I agree with Marilyn in addition that just because Governor Walker appoints someone doesn't mean everybody should automatically assume that that's a bad appointment.
We have another caller on a similar note, and we'll have you, John, respond to that. Jim in Elkhorn. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I had to preface this by saying my wife has been in the educational system and they have three kids in it, so I've benefited from the whole educational process the way it's been. In respect to your previous caller, what I find amazing about even a lawyer saying is that, I think this will be upheld in the long run, but what's troubling to most people in Wisconsin, I think, is that there's been a pattern here of having judges in the Madison area, sometimes rather obscure ones, change or rule on things. And I think around the state, that is creating a divide here and a troubling pattern. And I'd like your guest to comment on that, because I think it's becoming a real issue in the hinterlands outside of, the utopia that is Madison.
Yeah, all right. John, you can respond to that.
Sure. Let's take apart a few pieces of this. First off, I have respect for the judiciary in Dane County as well as in Walworth County. Down by Elkhorn in Waukesha County and in Iowa County. My friend Bill Dyke, the former very, very conservative mayor of Madison, is the circuit court judge out in Iowa County now. And some people love Bill, some people hate him, but the fact is I think he's generally viewed as a pretty solid judge. And this is the importance of the nonpartisan judiciary in Wisconsin. People are appointed coming from very different backgrounds. But at the end of the day, we have expected – We haven't degenerated as a people to that level where we think that they are just political animals, beasts that are put into this position, unable to think, simply going to impose an ideology. We have respected that somebody can become a judge and rise to a higher level. And that can happen in any county in this state. Now, as regards this sort of battering of Dane County and this sense that, you know, Dane County is a bad place, I would emphasize to you that a huge portion of the judges in Dane County were appointed by Tommy Thompson, who, by the way, was a lawyer, unlike Scott Walker, and who had a real determination to have an independent and functional judiciary. I disagree with Tommy on a lot of issues, but his judicial appointments were quite well regarded over the years. And the point that I would make here is that if you look at Judge Colas's decision, I would be horrified if a judge in Walworth County or Waukesha County or Iowa County came to a different conclusion. Because the fact of the matter is, this is basic regard for equal protection under the law, and equal protection under the law is what underpins almost every aspect of our functioning as a civil society. So I do not have that disrespect for the judiciary that I would think you'd get different rulings in different places.
We're way over time, so I'm just going to give you each just a minute or less just to give me your prediction on John Nichols. Will this ever be over? Are we going to have an appeal after appeal? Will it go to the U.S. Supreme Court? What's going to happen?
Absolutely. It's going to go on, and that's just fine. The fact of the matter is that the great struggle in Wisconsin, as in the great struggles in America, are not settled issues. I agree with Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Tom Paine, the others, who believed that all of the great issues would be revisited on a regular basis. It's healthy. It's good. What we want to avoid is the extreme of saying that some people, for instance, workers and their unions, are not equal partners in the formation of a great republic. I think that trade unions are every bit as much a part of what makes this country work as corporations or politicians. And I don't want to see them restricted. I think that they will fight to retain their rights, and I think they will find courts along the way that will uphold those rights.
And Owen, your closing arguments here, your prediction?
I think in the short term, the specific issues regarding Act 10 will go on for probably several years, but eventually they will become relatively settled and we'll move on to the next set of issues.
Thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you.
Owen Robinson, columnist for the West Bend Daily News, John Nichols, associate editor of the Capital Times. Now it's your turn to sound off. What is your reaction to the ruling that struck down parts of Act 10 as unconstitutional for teachers and municipal employees? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We'll take your calls in just a moment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Time now for the sound-off portion of today's big question. Last week, Dane County Judge Juan Colas ruled that the state's collective bargaining law is unconstitutional for school and local government workers. However, his decision does not affect state workers or University of Wisconsin system employees. Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen has formally asked for a stay on the ruling while he prepares an appeal. Which of the following best describes how you feel? Yay. The judge got it right. Boo. The judge got it wrong. Or I don't know. And why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. George in Green Bay is with us. Hello, George. What do you think?
Boo.
Why?
Why? Number one is the unions already, that they lost the initial initial vote. They then tried to overturn the state government. They lost at that, and they'll never stop. So now they find a friendly judge who basically gives them what they want. And I think this will be absolutely overturned. They talk about all the rights. The reason why public employees have the right to bargain in Wisconsin is because Patrick Moosey signed the law back in the 60s.
Thank you very much, George. We do have limited time, so 30 seconds. Linda on Facebook says, I am in favor of the court's decision finding key parts of Act 10 unconstitutional. As a freelance journalist, I live and die by the First Amendment and its guarantee of free speech. I also live and die by the Wisconsin Open Meetings Law, which the Republican legislature violated in passing Act 10. Linda in Prairie du Sac is with us now. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, Joy. This is Linda, and I absolutely agree with the judge. I believe that we need to take down Act 10 and restore collective bargaining rights to all all employees in the state of Wisconsin.
Thank you very much. We'll leave it there. You can continue voting online. You can find our online poll at wpr.org/joy. You can also find it on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So continue voting online. So far in our poll, 82% of you said you think that Judge Colas was correct in his decision. 17% say it was wrong, and 1% said you're not sure. Thanks to Bill Martins, Amanda Magnus, and Rob Ferret for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.